you're visiting with us this morning, a warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining us here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. This morning we are turning to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. And we might be looking at some familiar verses in the scriptures this morning from the book of Matthew. Please follow along with me as I read Matthew chapter number 1. Verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter number 1, verses 18 to 25, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, as we open up your holy word this morning, Father, we pray that you would teach us. Lord, help us and encourage us this morning. Lord, I pray for each father present, each father to be, each adult present, Lord, that you would help us to be a godly example to the little ones that look up to us for leadership and for guidance. Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths that we find in your word. Lord, we dare not trust in our own flesh and in our own wisdom to draw them out. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher this morning. May he fill each believer and guide us, Lord, into truth. And Lord, I do pray if there's anyone present that does not know you as their Heavenly Father, that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your mercies to us. Lord, bless this time now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin this morning with a little story. During the time of creation, it has been told, obviously this isn't in the Bible, that as the Lord was creating the first man, Adam, he started with a fully grown man. He didn't begin with a child. He created a man fully grown and a tall frame. And an angel nearby said to the Lord, Lord, if you're going to make children so close to the ground, why are you creating a man that is so high from the ground? Well, the Lord replied to the angel. And before he did, the angel said, well, if you make the man so high from the ground and children so low, then how is the man able to reach the child? He will have to bend down every time he wants to kiss his child. He'll have to stoop over every time he wants to tuck him into bed. And how many of you fathers have ever banged your head on that bunk bed or that corner wall or something because you were bending down to help your child? I'm sure you have. How will he be able to play with his child without stooping down and kneeling down to his level? And God smiled and said, yes, that's true. But if I make man child size, who would the child have to look up to? And this little made-up story is a wonderful reminder of the fact that our children look up to us. And on this Father's Day, for those of you who are fathers present with us this morning, let us be reminded of the great responsibility we have to be the right kind of father, the right kind of man that our children need. Now, if you do not have children here this morning, let's admit that all of us are an example to someone, aren't we? And there are children all around us, young ones all around us, looking literally upwards to see our example. How are we reflecting the leadership that they need? Well, we need to be the right kind of example, the right kind of father. And here in our scriptures this morning, you might ask, well, what does this have to do with Father's Day? Well, notice with me that when God was choosing a couple to use to bring the Messiah into the world, God did not just choose any man and any woman. Now, most of the times when we look at the scriptures and the birth of Christ, we focus on Mary, don't we? And rightly so. The Bible says that she is blessed among women. God used her in a mighty way, but so often we forget about her husband-to-be Joseph, don't we? So often Joseph fades into the background. But remember, as a husband and wife-to-be, it would be Joseph that would be the spiritual leader in the home. Just as God chose Mary to be the birth vessel to bring the Messiah into the world, God also chose Joseph, didn't he? He chose Joseph to be the leader in the home, to be the husband of Mary that indeed would be the man to raise God's very son. What a responsibility. And no doubt, as we look at the life of Joseph this morning very briefly, we're going to learn some characteristics of godly fatherhood to help us. So if you're a father, father-to-be, or simply an adult here this morning, let us be encouraged to be a godly example for our children, for the next generation. So let's look at Joseph's spiritual character. Obviously, there is a reason God chose Joseph. He didn't just choose any man because of Mary. No, he chose Joseph for a reason. Let's learn about that reason this morning. All right, first of all, notice Joseph's dilemma. Believe it or not, our story this morning begins with a great crisis, a great problem. Now, just double checking. Brother Paul, is that on? I've switched it on over here now. Thank you, brother. So Joseph's story begins with a great dilemma. We're not told much about Joseph, but what we are told says much. Now, Joseph faced probably one of the greatest crises in his life right now here in the Bible. Back in Luke chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that the angel Gabriel visited Mary and gave her a great announcement. Look with me in Luke chapter number 1 at that announcement. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Notice Luke chapter number 1 and verse 35. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So here is the private announcement from the angel Gabriel to Mary, that the pregnancy that Mary would experience would be no ordinary pregnancy, because this child would be no ordinary child. Amen? This is not just Mary and Joseph's child, because they were only engaged. They had not been married. They had not known each other physically. This child was indeed from God. She would become pregnant because the Holy Spirit of God would overshadow her, and she would conceive in her womb. And the child within her would in fact be God, born and robed in the human flesh, the Son of God, the Messiah that had been promised from the foundation of the world. Now, this was exciting news. This was astounding news. Now, remember, though, one thing. This was only news to whom? To Mary. Now, remember, Mary knew all about what was to happen, but Joseph was still left in the dark, wasn't he? He had no idea what was about to happen to his fiancée, as we could call her today. Now put yourself in Joseph's place for a moment. Here you are, engaged to a woman to be married, and as any man preparing for a marriage, I'm sure he was busy getting ready. Now for those of you who are married this morning, you might remember working up to that day. It was a busy time. And I remember living in a little studio apartment, which isn't a one-bedroom apartment, it's just a one-room apartment. And everything is in that one room, and that's the room that my wife, when once we were married, was going to move into. So I was busy, as you can imagine, throwing out some stuff, making room impossibly, seemingly, in that little cubicle that I had, emptying out the cupboard, making sure she had room for some of her things. And I remember going down to IKEA, buying a couple of three-level set drawers and putting them in this little section that I had free, and building that together, just getting ready for the marriage day, the day that my wife would move in with me and we would live as husband and wife. It was an exciting time. It was a time of anticipation. So put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Very likely it would have been the same time. And yes, it was an arranged marriage, but the Bible does tell us about arranged marriages and how they did look forward to being married. You remember how Rebecca looked forward to seeing Isaac, though she'd never met him before. And she was willing to go in the will of God to be married. And that was the same with these two. They were looking forward to the marriage day. Joseph, no doubt, was preparing. We know that Joseph worked as a busy carpenter. Perhaps he was preparing his home. Perhaps he was preparing some special things for Mary. Now, in the midst of the busyness of getting ready for marriage, the Bible does tell us that when Mary found out this exciting news, this personal announcement from God's angel, that she decided to go away for 3 months. Off she went to the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, her cousin Elizabeth was also with child, which was John the Baptist, and they went to rejoice together, but again, remember, who was in the dark? Who did not know what was going on? Joseph, her fiancé. He had no idea what was going on. And to make matters worse, let's relate to this morning. 3 months later, Mary comes back. Obviously, for any man whose fiancé was away, looking forward to her returning, she comes back and he finds out that she is pregnant. Now, obviously, knowing that he wasn't the father, because the Bible says that they had not come together physically, obviously, what would have been his first response? Let me ask you, men, what would have been your first response? It would have been a tragic one. This was Joseph's dilemma. He faced a shocking discovery. A shocking discovery. But what the scriptures reveal to us is absolutely astounding in that how he responded. Though it was a shocking discovery, the Bible reveals that he made a stable decision. A stable decision. Notice with me in verse number 19 of the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Back in Matthew chapter 1, how did Joseph respond to this great dilemma? And again, don't underestimate the fact that Joseph was just a man. He was a man who was engaged, preparing for the wedding day. His fiancée had been away for 3 months. She comes back, he's pregnant. What is he going to do now? Notice verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now look up here this morning. This is amazing. Joseph, under Jewish law, had some rights as a fiancée. You see, under the Jewish law, they were permitted to divorce during that engagement period. They were espoused, the Bible says, in verse number 18. That means they were engaged. But in biblical times, an engagement was just as good as marriage. And that engagement period before the actual wedding took place was the only time in the scriptures that a husband and a wife, a couple that is engaged, could separate from one another. He had the right to put away Mary, to divorce her. during that engagement period. So he had the right to do that. That could have been one of his choices. Under the law, though, in Deuteronomy chapter number 22, he could press charges against her under charges of adultery, and she could be punished as severely as being stoned. He had that right. Adultery was a grievous and wicked transgression of the law, and she could have been severely punished to the very limit of the law. Well, there was another option also, because notice in verse number 19, it mentions making her a public example. He could have brought her and exposed her out in the open before all the people that he knew. Before all the judges, Mary could have been brought out, could have been shamed before everyone publicly, therefore losing her rights, losing any inheritance, and she would live the rest of her life in shame for what she had done. Now, any average man filled with anger and with jealousy and with rage would have probably picked one of those two options. What would you and I have done? What would Joseph have done? Well, we don't need to wonder about that. The Bible tells us what he did. And this is the amazing thing. Notice verse number 19. He did not want to make her a public example. In fact, he was minded to put her away privily. What does that mean? He was going to privately let her go. He was going to say, Mary, we can't get married now, but I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm going to protect your testimony. I'm not going to shame you publicly. I'm not going to seek punishment against you. You can go. We don't have to get married. And he was minded to put her away privately and let her go on with her life. Why would Joseph have made such a stable decision facing such a shocking discovery? How could he? But do you notice a special word there in verse 19 describing Joseph? What word is that? Can you tell me this morning? He was a just man. You see, when God looked down from heaven and he wanted to pick a man and a woman to raise his only begotten son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not just choose any woman, and he did not just choose any man. You see, Joseph was a just man. The word just means to be righteous. The word just means to be holy. That's who Joseph was. But there's a problem, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, that there is none righteous, no, not one. How could Joseph, being simply a man, make such a righteous, stable decision? Well, you see, Joseph was a man who believed in God. He was a God-fearing man. He was an Old Testament believer that looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. Hey, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you weren't there when he died on the cross, is that correct? We look back to the cross knowing what he did for us, purchasing our salvation once and for all. But the Old Testament believer was looking forward to the cross, looking forward by faith to the day that the Messiah would come and would atone for the sins of the world, and that's what Joseph was. He was an Old Testament believer awaiting, expecting, and looking forward to the Savior to come. He was a just man. He had his faith in God. And therefore, because he personally knew God, he trusted in God in a supernatural way during this very great dilemma, or perhaps the greatest dilemma of his life. Just a man, but a just man, because of his faith and his relationship with the living God. Let me ask you this morning, if you're here in church, what type of relationship do you have with God? Well, oftentimes that's revealed, isn't it, when we face the greatest crises in our life. My friend, what happens to you during the greatest trials and troubles in your life? Do you know God personally? Has there been a time that you were brought back to God? In the hymn, The Child of the King, we sang about this truth of adoption. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You see, all of us here this morning, including myself, we are all sinners before a holy God. God is just. He is completely righteous. He is completely perfect. He is completely holy and sinless. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But on the other side of the story, we are all sinners. We've lied. We've thought hateful thoughts, which God defines as murder. God defines lust in our hearts as the act of adultery, yet not committed. That's what Jesus said. God describes disobedience to parents as sin. So if we simply count these few, we realize that we're in trouble. We are sinners before a holy God, and because there is none righteous, there's no way for us to make up for our sins by doing good works. The Bible says that God, in fact, abhors our good works. For you and I to think we can get to heaven by doing good is to refuse to accept all the sin that we have accumulated in our lives over the years. To say that means nothing, and we can undo it by giving a few dollars to a charity or helping someone across the street or being kind to our neighbor once in a while. We think that that can undo all the sin and the iniquity of our lives. Well, it cannot. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that we've all sinned. Chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Death is the penalty that we deserve. We deserve to die because the word death means separation. Separation from this world. In the book of the Revelation, the Bible tells us separation from God forever. And a place called the lake of fire. Who deserves to go there? The Bible says all liars, all sinners. That includes you and I, my friend. That's what we deserve. Why? Because God is just and He must punish sin. He cannot just let us go, or else He would be a corrupt judge. For what judge would let a criminal go? God is holy. He must punish sin. But the good news for us this morning is this. John chapter 3, verse 16, which we read. For God so, say it, loved the world. He is a just God, but He is a loving God. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God's justice demand punishment upon sin. So God, in His love for you and I, did the greatest thing that anyone could ever conceive. He Himself chose to come down to this sin-cursed world and to be born in a human body, Jesus Christ, and to go to an old rugged cross, and there on that cross with His holy, sinless blood that was shed, He paid in full. To pay entirely, once and for all, for your sin debt against God and mine. That is the love of God, my friend. He died for you and I. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead. Well, what does that mean? That means the payment on the cross of Christ was received by God the Father as a just payment for your sins, for my sins, and that all people in the world, for God so loved the world, have the opportunity to repent and by faith turn to Christ as Savior and receive the gift of eternal life. So you can't earn salvation, my friend. You can't work your way to heaven. It is a free gift. God paid it with the greatest price ever known, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and it's simply free for you and I to receive if we are willing to. By faith. Let me ask the question again. What is your relationship with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you yet to take that step? Turning from sin, turning to Christ and being saved once and for all. Has there been a time that you were made a child of God? I trust that you are. If you're not sure this morning, please come and find us. After the service, we'd love to take the Bible and simply show you the love of God and how you can receive eternal life, even this Father's Day. Well, you see, Joseph was a just man. Back to Joseph. He was a believer in God, and we could call him a saved man because he put his faith in God, just like Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Joseph was a just man. And if you're a Christian here this morning, let me ask the question also, what do you do in your greatest dilemmas? How do you respond to the trials of life? Do you make stable decisions? You might say, James, well, how can I make a stable decision? I don't know how I would have responded if I was a husband or a man engaged to Mary. I think I would have gotten angry, and we can understand that. I think I would have wanted revenge and to find out desperately who that man was. How did she fall pregnant? Rage would have flowed out. In fact, that's so often what you and I as men do, don't we? Sometimes we do that when we get cut off on the road. Someone waves their fist, swears at us, and they're the one that has done something wrong. Put our family in jeopardy because of their foolish driving. We get angry, don't we? We lose it very quickly at times. Why didn't Joseph lose it? Well, you see, Joseph knew who his God was. And because he had faith in God, he knew the fact that God was in control of all things. He did not understand why Mary was pregnant, listen carefully, but he knew that God knew. He knew that God had the answers, and he simply trusted in God, and therefore he said, I don't need to punish Mary, I don't need to take revenge. She's in God's hands. I'm going to just let her go privately. She can move on with her life, I'll move on with mine. I am trusting in the Lord. The psalmist said these words in Psalm 31, my times are in thy hand. If we know God, we will trust in him for every minute of the day. We will trust that he knows exactly what's going on at every moment of the day. So when something in the unexpected happens to us and we are tempted to lose the plot, to lose control, we can make a stable decision in that moment. Why? The Bible says in Romans, the book of Romans, that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. See, God is in control of our lives, and we need to know him. We need to grow closer to him in our personal relationship. Fathers, let me encourage you to know your God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How can we have the grace of God during the trials of life when everything seems to go wrong, suddenly, shockingly? How can we have peace in our hearts and make stable decisions and not lose control during those moments? Well, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. As you get to know God once you are saved, you will be able to grow and learn and have confidence that God is in control of all things. Does that make sense this morning? You can say amen. God is in control of every detail. Whether you and I understand it or not, he's in control. What a comfort to the heart. What a balm for the soul in any situation. God is in control. Let me encourage you to know your God. Well, Joseph knew God. So, first of all, we see Joseph's dilemma. And that revealed his Savior. Notice next, Joseph's dream. Well, Joseph was going to put Mary away privately. Notice what happened next in verse number 20. Are you still with me this morning? Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is astounding. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He revealed to Joseph exactly what was going on. Until now, Joseph was in the dark. He was just going to put Mary away privately. But now it's revealed who, in fact, was behind the pregnancy of Mary. It was God himself. Verse number 20 reveals God's person. Mary was still a virgin. The person inside was from God. Her pregnancy was a miracle. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Notice verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. Friends, this is the one, the Savior of the world, the Messiah that had been promised to pay for the sins of the whole world. This is the one that had come. This is the one that was in Mary's womb. Notice what the Bible says in the next verse, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child. This is a prophecy from the Old Testament. You see, Joseph was told by the angel of the Lord, this is the Messiah, conceived of the Holy Ghost. This is the Savior of the world. This is the promised Messiah. All the prophets of the past have foretold of this one to come. And don't fear to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife, because no man was behind her pregnancy. She's still a virgin. This is the child conceived of the Holy Ghost. What an amazing dream, a message given to Joseph. What an amazing miracle. Why did God speak to Joseph in a dream? Well, very simply, remember those in the Old Testament did not have the completed scriptures like you and I do. Today, God speaks to us through His Holy Word. It has been completed. It has been authored by the Holy Spirit of God here for us to read. Remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that privilege. So God spoke to them through prophets, preachers, and also in dreams and visions. So Joseph received a message in a dream. And now he finally realizes that he has been chosen to be the man to raise God's Son. Now, for any believer, this would have been the greatest privilege ever given. Would you agree? Yes, for Mary, of course, we understand that. We talk a lot about Mary, but what about Joseph? What an amazing privilege to be the man to raise God's Son. But now think about it with me this morning. What a great responsibility. Suddenly, Joseph realized that God has called him to do something that would involve his dedication and commitment for the rest of his earthly life. Hey, Joseph couldn't just live as he pleased, could he? He couldn't just go out and live a half-spiritual life or lays back in the sofa every night and switch on the TV and watch all sorts of junk and live as he pleases, fulfill his lusts and his carnal desires and just lose the plot whenever he gets angry and just live as he pleases, live how he feels, live in the flesh, and be a carnal man at home. No, he couldn't do that because he had a great responsibility. Isn't that true? So Joseph had to make up his mind, am I going to accept God's will for my life, or I'm going to reject it and live as I want? What a great responsibility. Now, next, also notice that Joseph would have also had to face a great shame. You see, other than Joseph and Mary now, no one else in the village knew why Mary was pregnant. And Joseph now being willing to marry Mary would have brought reproach onto his own life. If he just put her away privately, he wouldn't have been blamed. But now, if he marries her and everyone finds out she's pregnant, before they got married officially, what are they going to think? All sorts of things. Hey, have you ever lived in a small village before? I haven't personally, but I've visited one. And small village people like to talk. In fact, that's all they ever do. And back in biblical times, everyone knew each other's lives. They knew the happenings. They knew the stories. They knew the gossip. Imagine Joseph marrying Mary now and what he would face. Imagine Joseph thinking, all right, how's this going to affect me? Now, men, that's the way we think, don't we? When we have to make big decisions in our lives, we think, okay, how is this going to affect me? What am I going to do? Hey, how would this affect Joseph's business? He was a carpenter. Would this be the end of his business? Maybe no one would want to employ him anymore because of his reproach. What would happen to his testimony? What would happen to his family name? Imagine the responsibility and also the shame that Joseph would face at the very same time. And yet what does the Bible say he did? In verse number 24, notice with me. And Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Can you see this morning that when Joseph woke up, he did not hesitate to marry Mary. He did not hesitate to obey the will of God. Can you see that this morning? Hey, Joseph was just a man. But because he believed in God, because he had faith in God as his Savior and as his God for life, he knew who God was. He took God at his word. And instead of living by his fears and his feelings, faith overcame his will. Joseph, the Bible says, surrendered to the will of God for his life. Now, simply put, I'd like to say this morning, for those of you who are fathers-to-be, it is a great responsibility to be a father. And as a father of three, I bear that same responsibility as yourselves. If you are an adult and a Christian in this church, you too have a great responsibility to be a living spiritual example to the young children in our church. It is a great responsibility, isn't it? We can't afford just to live one way in church and then live another outside. And when those little eyes see us outside, what do they see? What do they see? We need to take responsibility. See, God is looking this morning for some men in this church who are willing to take the responsibility and to surrender to the will of God for our lives, and as men or as fathers or as husbands this morning, and be willing to say, yes, Lord, I will surrender to your will, and I will seek to live a godly life. I will seek to obey the word of God, and I will seek by your grace to know you and grow in my faith so that I can be the best testimony and example to my wife and to my children and to this church family that I can be for the glory of God. Amen? Joseph's dream revealed his surrender. He surrendered. Faith did not flinch. He woke up and he married Mary. He decided to do that when he woke up. Didn't hesitate. And yet how often do we as men hesitate to do the right thing? Because we don't feel like doing it. Because we fear losing what we have. We fear what will happen to our comforts, perhaps, or to our own personal lifestyle if we really put God first in the home. Friends, God's plan is always best. Don't miss it this morning. God included Joseph in his eternal and amazing plan. Joseph wouldn't miss out on anything in the larger scheme of things, but in the present, he had a decision to make. He made the right one. His dream revealed his surrender. We too have been involved as Christians in the miraculous work of God. Now don't worry, God would never ask you to do what he asked Joseph to do. Amen? That time has already passed. He's never going to ask you to do that. But he does ask us to do other things. He does ask us to raise our children in a godly home. Raise them up, the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that one day they will come to faith in Jesus Christ the Savior. We've been called as Christians to raise souls with the gospel. We've been called ambassadors of Christ to go out into this community and take the message of salvation door to door, house to house, people to people, to see souls saved for the glory of God. Hey, if they're going to believe our message, we need to live the right way so we don't get called hypocrites. Amen? And then we've been called to raise up believers who have trusted in the gospel, to walk with the Lord. We are all examples. A great responsibility has been given to us. Are we willing to surrender to the will of God? I trust that you are, my friend. Joseph was, wasn't he? What a wonderful example. Notice lastly, Joseph's decision. Joseph's decision. We've seen Joseph's dilemma that revealed his Savior. Joseph's dream revealed his surrender. Notice Joseph's decision. It reveals his strength of faith. The Bible says that Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him Mary his wife. Notice verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The Bible gives us more details in closing about Joseph. He married her. He did not take her to himself physically because she was pregnant with the Messiah. What does that reveal? It reveals his faith. He believed God over his feelings, over his manly, carnal desires, perhaps of revenge and anger and doubt and fear. And he waited till the child was born. And then he, as the husband, which is what the husband had the right to do in biblical times, named his name, the child's name, not Joseph. As was tradition, you would name your child the name of the father. Is that correct? If you know, by biblical customs and manners, Joseph would have named his first child Joseph if it was a son. He named his name Jesus. Can you see the faith of Joseph this morning? The faith of Joseph. Joseph was called to believe the impossibles. His feelings may have told him one thing, but faith told him another. Faith told him to trust God, believe God, surrender to his plan and will for your life, and that's what Joseph did. He wasn't willing to go where the easy choices would lead. Faith is willing to go where God leads it. Faith is willing to believe in the impossible, whatever the cost. And fathers, our children need to see that God is a God that can be trusted, that is worth believing in, that can be followed, knowing that his plan is always the best for our lives. Well, that was Joseph. In a nutshell, his decision revealed his strength of faith. Let me ask you this morning, fathers, husbands, adults. We all have dreams for our lives, don't we? We all have plans and we all have desires. Let me ask you this morning, is your dream for the future God's dream for you? Is your desire to do and live as you please, or is your desire to live as God pleases, surrender to his will? Now, Joseph learned a very important lesson. If you follow God's will, though it requires sacrifice, if you follow God's plan, though it includes being ashamed before the world, but if you lay aside your fears and your feelings and you put your faith in God, God will include you in the miraculous blessings of his will. That's what Joseph became a part of. And that is the same for you and I this morning. Would you allow your dreams to become God's dreams? Lay aside your plans to become God's plans. He wants to use you and I to carry out his will today, just like Joseph, in the home, in our workplaces, in our communities, in this church. Adult, are you a Christian that God can use today? I trust you are. Let's close in a word of prayer and ask.